about.
Suddenly, there's a knock on the door.
Well, now, who could that be? I say, who is it?
No answer.
Who is it?
There's no answer.
Who is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What happens when one person in the relationship is not very keen on taking advice or talking or communicating? What then should happen?
Some people should not grow beards. Your face looks like an armpit.
You should be on the radio. You got everything it takes, good looks, a nice speaking voice, and what a personality. You ought to be on the radio with me. I'll get you places. You'll be a big star.
And now, oh, Mike Douglas, you know, Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched the show. I would get moist when I watched the show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
Our feature presentation.
I don't want to hear that guy talking about being moist.
Ever.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 15th of February.
So is today the Muse interview?
Yes, sir.
Today's the, because we were just playing Muse right there. Made me think, are we still sticking to that story that it's today?
7 a.m.
Not tomorrow.
Today's 7 a.m.
Not yesterday.
Today.
Today at 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
Okay. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
How was your night?
Listen, it wasn't great.
Uh-oh.
What?
What happened?
Yeah. Well, my...
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Well, no.
There's more.
Three things. First of all, Valentine's Day just blows. We know this. Second of all, my best friend moved yesterday to New York, so that sucks. Mm. Then last night, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to sit down, watch a little TV, have a little dinner. It'll be great. Well, you can't because your cable's out, your phone's out, and your internet is out. And then I thought, all right, fine. No big deal. Get some food. Ordered some food. Half an hour later, Postmates canceled your order. All right, not a big deal. Just get somewhere else. Ordered something else. 15 minutes later, Postmates has canceled your order.
What's happening? Why
they're all prefix menus, and they didn't find out until they showed up to these places for all the Valentine's lovers.
Oh, Valentine's Day, sure.
So you need to call in next year on the Kevin DeBean Show with Valentine's Day disasters and tell us that story.
I'm telling you.
Why was all your technology turned off?
Well, interestingly, I looked out my back window because I could hear quite a ruckus yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And there was a guy up on a pole doing something. Not sure what it was, but I now know he was disconnecting everything in my house, fixing something in someone else's.
Did he mean? Oh, okay. I don't know.
He meant to. Mm. But yeah, so I had to use my little personal hotspot. What? And I watched Chris Rock special, so that's what I did with my night.
Did he hook your stuff back up?
He didn't.
What? You still have no internet at home?
Oh, no. I won't until they can come out. It's now a thing where they need to send a human.
You have to move.
So like a couple of weeks?
They did say actually next Wednesday or Thursday would be the first appointment. And I was
I said,
no. I saw a human being on a pole and he looked like one of your workers.
Yeah.
You guys did this.
Yeah, so if they you can send one guy out, you can send another guy out.
Yeah, so they said today by 5. So.
Oh, all right.
Sure.
Well, you made some progress.
A little bit.
Let's bring this up again later in the show when people are awake and call out that company so that they know that they're on black. To do it, to take care of it today?
Oh, trust me. I have a long history.
Because otherwise, you just have to burn that house down.
Oh, I will.
Okay. I mean, I'm not positive that those are the only options.
What's the point of having a house if there's no internet, Kevin?
Right? Almost did it with the spider. I'll do it for cable.
Exactly. That is not a great Valentine's
it
night.
Really
no, it's not
wasn't.
Ideal.
It's not.
It wasn't.
And I want to ask you later, because we don't have time now because I got to do the thing, but I want to ask you later about the Chris Rock special, too. So
okay.
Let's remember to talk about that maybe in the What's Happening coming up. All right. You guys, we all love Prince, right? One of the most talented musical artists of all time. Who doesn't adore Prince? Who doesn't turn up every time a Prince song comes on the radio? You turn it up and you go, I love this song and I love this guy and I miss him so much.
Yes.
Well, the most incredible, some will say the most worthless piece of Prince memorabilia ever is on eBay right now. Listen to this. Chris Moon is a former record producer and owner of the Minneapolis studio where Prince recorded his first demo tape.
Okay.
In fact, Chris Moon has said over the years that he discovered Prince. And he does have an argument that that is so. Prince was only 16 at the time, and Chris co-wrote three of the four songs on the demo that got Prince his record deal with Warner Brothers Records.
Okay.
One of those songs was called Soft and Wet. And I think you guys will probably remember, probably familiar with that song. It ended up coming out on Prince's debut album. He was only 17 years old. Soft and Wet released as a single, went to 92. You ever hear this song, Kevin?
No.
Soft and Wet. Great song. Allie, you know it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, he is the co-writer on this song, and now he has decided he is going to sell his co-writing credit so that you can be the co-writer on Soft and Wet by Prince.
That's odd.
Huh?
That's
How
odd.
About that?
It's a weird thing that you can actually own it like you co-wrote it, which you clearly didn't.
You did not.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. You do. This is not a time machine. You do not get to go back and actually meet
Help
Prince
write
and
write
the song with Prince. That doesn't happen. And you also do not have Prince's publishing or licensing rights, which are separate from the songwriting credits, but you will make money off of the song. Now, songs don't sell a lot of copies anymore. It's not a lot of income coming in from streaming. So, and it's not like this is Let's Go Crazy or 1999.
Right.
It's Soft and Wet, which is a song people like, but not a lot of people are buying. But you can actually buy it. How much do you think it costs, the buy it now price on eBay right now? And I should tell you that there are no bids on this right now on eBay. There are 215 people watching. I looked at the page right before we went on the air. But how much do you think the buy it now price is to be the co-writer of Prince's song Soft and Wet?
Boy, it's impossible to figure that stuff
out.
Yeah,
this is a tough one. This is a one-of-a-kind item for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $490,000.
Kevin says $490,000. Miss Ellen McKay.
I'd say a little higher.
Okay.
I'll go $491. Is this the Price is Right?
It's not the Price is Right.
No.
I feel like you guys read the article.
I mean,
I feel like
it's possible we're cheating.
Sounds like you might have.
It is possible we're cheating.
But I don't know why you would do that to your old pal Bead. But yes, it is. It
because
is
we found it funny. Oh, he's right on the dot. Wow.
Yeah, got that.
That's
got
great.
That right, so.
Oh,
by the way,
he sounds so dejected.
By the way, let's talk about that just for a second.
Yes.
That song is still worth $490,000.
Well, I mean, it's worth whatever he can get for it. You're never going to get that much money back, ever, ever, ever.
Right.
You live to be a million. You won't get that much money back.
Okay.
In fact, Mr. Moon even told the Star Tribune paper, anyone who buys this probably shouldn't be doing it for financial purposes. It's more about owning one of the most unique collectibles ever related to Prince.
I see.
Yeah.
By the way, he made a ton of money on this song, being the co-writer, because MC Hammer sampled it on a song on his Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him album.
Really?
Which you may recall sold 22 million albums. So he did. He cashed in on being the co-writer of Soft and Wet as the co-writer there. Yeah. I don't think you're going to make anything close to that now, but who knows? For some crazy rich Prince fan out there, maybe it would be a charge to have the CD, you know, or even on Spotify now that they're adding songwriting credits, and actually see your name there next to Prince as if you had something to do with it.
That's pretty bizarre.
Anyway, and good guesses to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Those are real jobs, not the other kind where they talk, but there's nothing there.
That's us.
Right. Gene Simmons has a new book. I'm sure if you're aware of that. It's kind of a self-help book.
What?
I mean, look. Look, the guy's a disgusting pig, but he knows business.
He's successful.
He is enormously successful in lots of different ways.
But self-help, I didn't see that coming.
Right?
Yeah. Huh.
Listener Ian, we're going to talk to you today.
Okay.
The good Ian, though, not the bad Ian.
Right. The good Ian. Well, sure. He's got two cats.
Uh-huh. Well, is he a good Ian, then?
Yes, he's a good Ian.
A dude with two cats?
Not.
Really?
He named one of them Bean. And then he named the other one of them King of Mexico.
Oh, does that hurt, Kevin?
No, it actually that's very humorous to me.
Okay.
Because he went out of his way to not name his his pet me. And I find that funny. And and I'm guessing either he doesn't like me, which is very possible.
Okay.
Or he knows that I hate cats.
Ah.
But
yeah.
It's more likely. By
yeah,
the
that's
way.
Possible.
But I can't wait to talk to him about it because it makes me laugh.
And by the way, this listener who we'll talk to next hour lives in England.
Yeah.
Streams the show for 10 years now in England. Or listens to the podcast, more likely. But how did that happen, I'm wondering?
Yeah. Cats.
Dr. Drew on the program today. Like we do on Thursdays, we also check in with Jim Rome on sports. And like we said, Muse at 7 a.m. Very excited about that. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Yeah, it is. Allie, what's happening?
I can't keep doing this, you guys.
I
can't keep doing this with TMZ and the Spice Girls.
Okay.
I can't.
That's new news.
Are we on or off now?
So originally, TMZ got the scoop. It's happening. It's going down. The reunion tour, it is on.
Right.
And then Victoria Beckham comes out in Vogue magazine and was like, no, it's not. The girls might do something. I'm not doing anything. Well, now TMZ is saying the Spice Girls have signed contracts for their reunion tour.
Nope.
They have signed on the dotted line last Friday, and we're told other members signed as well. TMZ says they broke the story. The girls have agreed to reunite.
All right, wait. Other members or all members?
Well, the girls have agreed to reunite for a series of concerts in the UK and the US. After our story posted, Victoria Beckham told Vogue there would be no reunion tour. But we know Mel B has signed the deal, as have others, and it spells out the specifics, including the number and location of concerts and compensation.
How important is Posh? Couldn't they just go out without her?
I feel like
yes,
they could.
They
100%.
Could. Right? Sure.
So it doesn't really matter whether she's in or not.
So we're just saying it's happening.
Let's say whatever, because we're just going to take it back tomorrow.
It is interesting in a band like that to determine who is essential. Like, for instance, the Backstreet Boys went out and did a bunch of shows without one of the guys. I think Kevin was the one who decided not to do it.
You always want to leave the Kevin behind.
You usually do.
Now he's back in, I think, for their Vegas residency. I think Kevin's doing it again. Hmm. But when the Spice Girls go out, I don't think you can do it without Ginger.
No.
Would you agree?
I think Ginger is probably the most important Spice.
And then Puffy after her.
No.
I don't
think
there's a Puffy. No Puffy, no.
I think after Ginger and then Scary.
Really?
Silly.
And then Baby and then Sporty.
Sporty's the best singer.
Doesn't matter. No one's looking at Sporty.
Oh.
Yeah, right. That's the sad truth, you guys.
I think we've just determined that Posh is the least important member of the Spice Girls.
She is.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
So you're welcome, promoters. We just solved it.
Right?
They're good. Okay, moving along. Chloe Kim is my favorite Olympian ever. She's
pretty awesome.
Adorable. She, of course, won the gold medal in snowboarding, which is no small feat for a 17-year-old, first of all. But then she's always tweeting about food. She's tweeting about food in the middle of competitions. But she was on the Today Show, and she commented on other people that, you know, broke down, sobbing, crying. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you didn't cry up there on the podium when the national anthem played. And she said there was very good reason for that. She had just killed it with her eyeliner and did not want to ruin it.
Don't cry.
Don't cry. Your
eyeliner
looks
point.
Amazing today. I love her so much. And speaking of Olympians, if you weren't on Twitter yesterday, you might have missed your chance. Because Lindsey Vonn, we all know her, the skier, sent out a tweet asking, anyone else out there single and want to be my Valentine? With the hashtag, worth a shot. Lindsey.
I'm pretty sure she probably wasn't really looking for...
I don't think you want to do that.
I don't think so either.
I don't think you want to even
she
look at your
no
mentions.
Longer is with Tiger Woods, right?
Oh, no. Not for a while.
For a while. Okay.
No, she was dating a trainer or something for the Raiders, maybe?
I don't know.
Yeah, I might have made that up. No, I'm pretty sure she was for a couple years.
I do know Twitter is probably not where you're going to find your love, though.
No. Take it from me. Ryan Phillippe might be looking for love. He has a profile on the Raya dating app. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
Jim?
What's it called?
Raya?
No.
Raya? Raya?
How do you spell it?
R-A-Y-A.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is it for celebrities or rich people only?
Well, according to Life and Style, he hopes to meet, quote, a like-minded lady who understands all the pressures that come with fame. So it must be people of a certain stature on there. That's why
Something
none of
famous.
Us knew. Oh, that's so sad.
I've been told it's Rhea.
Rhea.
Rhea is how you say it.
Oh. Who's on it?
I don't know.
Who told you?
King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so iffy.
Very iffy. And I want to tell you guys, coming up in a later What's Happening, about how a woman is suing our wonderful state of California. And I'm just going to tell you one little tidbit about this case. Okay. It has to do with Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
What? Yeah, she's suing our state because of Bigfoot. I'll give you more info coming up. But first, some birthdays for you. Ross and Matt Duffer, the Stranger Things creators. Actress Jane Seymour, actress Alex Bornstein. How good is she in that show, Bean? Your show that I can't remember the name. No one's going to help me. The
which one?
The Jewish. She's she breaks up with her husband.
The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Thank you.
Yeah, come she's on, wonderful. Bean. She's wonderful in everything.
All the fun.
She really is so good in that, though. Never would I come up with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Nope. But Alex
Bornstein. And you've seen the show and you like the show.
I did.
And you refuse to remember the name of the show.
I'm not good. And Incubus singer Brandon Boyd, that's what's happening.
Don't forget, still got your tickets for 30 Seconds to Mars along with Walk the Moon, 9 a.m. this morning. And then again at noon and 3 and 6 throughout the day on KROQ. You get a chance to see him at the Forum, I want to say. I have no paperwork in front of me. The Forum sounds right.
Forum July 19th.
Also eligible for the grand prize drawing for the trip to New York City to see him at Madison Square Garden. Hockey, you guys, right?
Right.
There are currently 31 teams. The NHL is one step closer to adding a 32nd team. We don't know where that team is going to be right now. There are a lot of cities who would love a hockey team. Quebec City is one of them, for instance. Houston wants a hockey team. There is talk, Kevin, that your beloved Arizona Coyotes may relocate to another city.
There's a lot of talk about that. I don't know why. It just seems like the city doesn't want them, and they have problems with the building.
Ugh. Yes. And every sports franchise seems to always be at war with their venue. It's never enough.
Yeah.
Calgary Flames are another one that there's talk that they may move. So we don't know whether a team's going to move and change its name or if there's going to be an expansion team. But right now, it's looking more and more like Seattle will finally get a hockey team. They put down the $10 million advance down payment. They are in line to, by the way, the franchise fee now, $650 million to get into the NHL.
Wow.
Oof.
And that has increased quite a bit. When Las Vegas got their team, how long ago? When was that approved? Like
this
2 years
season.
Ago?
Probably
2 years ago.
They started
ago
last season, yeah. It was only $500 million. Now it's $650 million to get into hockey. Well, now the talk is, what's the Seattle team going to be called? What's the name of the team going to be?
Now, we've talked about this before because it seems like if you pretty much every sports team name is dumb, but you're used to it.
Right.
So you don't think anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so now they're trying to figure out what do they name their team.
I mean, no matter how iconic a name is, if somebody came to you today and the Lakers had never existed and they said, we're going to call the team the Lakers,
stupid.
You would go, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, no
Even
way.
Even if they were still in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Years
made
ago, more
no,
sense.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly, yeah. So, what is the Seattle hockey team going to be named? And this is going to be an interesting exercise because this will show you how difficult it is to come up with a team name. Here are some of the names that have been suggested that have some traction, and then I'll actually give you the odds on the top names that are more likely to be picked.
Okay.
For instance, the Seattle Skyline is a name that some people like very much. Seattle does have an iconic skyline because of the Space Needle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Metropolitans is a name, which actually makes historical sense because the Seattle used to have a team called the Metropolitans that actually won the first Stanley Cup back in 1917. So it'd be kind of makes sense to have that, right? The Seattle Snowcaps, Seattle famous for its Mount Rainier and the other mountains around with the Seattle Thunderbirds, which is currently the name of Seattle's junior hockey team. The Nighthawks, the Sasquatches. How about the Sasquatches, you guys?
Sasquatches would be funny.
Yeah.
But funny.
Yeah.
But imagine all the Bigfoot mascot stuff you could do.
Yeah,
right?
I hate it.
The Seattle Pilots, which is a nod to history. The Pilots were Seattle's first ever Major League Baseball team.
Oh.
So that's a name that has some history in the area. All right. Now let's move on to some of the ones that have odds on them in Las Vegas. If you want to go, actually, you have to go through Bovada to bet. I don't think that's Vegas. The Sockeyes, the Seattle Sockeyes.
Sockeyes.
Is that a fish?
That's a fish.
Yeah, that's
like
a terrible
kale, right?
name.
Yeah.
Sockeyes.
I don't think naming your team after a fish, unless you're the Sharks, which is a fierce fish, I don't think any other fish is going to strike fear into the hearts of your opponents.
But then what if they become just like one of those teams that has enforcers? Their whole line is enforcers, and they're the Sockeyes. And then it takes on a different meaning.
I don't think
no?
it means that kind of sock.
Okay.
No.
All right. I tried.
The Seattle, that's 15-1, the sock guys. At 11-1, the Seattle Whales.
Well, no, the Hartford Whalers, they can't do that.
The Whales.
Too close.
Yeah, too close.
That's a good point. Hartford
Thank
Whalers,
you.
Yeah.
Redemption.
Whales, I think, makes sense because there are, you know, obviously Puget Sound is a big whale watching area. Lots of people go and look for whales, but I think you're right. I don't think it makes any sense. 11-1 also, the Seattle Seals.
Okay, I can see that. Because the seal is a pretty fierce animal.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think, but it is.
Yeah. Because they look like big blobs, right? Yeah. Like they'll F you up. Now, if we get into seals territory, now are we also getting into people making silly noises with their...
Yes.
Are they
going
to have
oh,
some
yeah.
sort of...
yeah. That's going to happen a lot. Yes. And I love it.
All right. Here's
what
I...
Come on, seals.
The next two that are tied at 10-1 don't make any sense to me at all, and I don't know what the idea is behind even putting it up there for suggestion, but the Seattle Eagles makes no sense because, again, let's stay away from – there's already a professional sports team called the Eagles. Let's stay away from that. That bugs me, by the way, that there are several franchises that share a name with another professional sports team.
Yeah, that is sort of
I don't like that
lazy.
At all. Like the Jets, for instance. You know, there's a hockey Jets, right? And there's a yep. – or is there no longer a Winnipeg,
Winnipeg
Jets?
Winnipeg Jets haven't been around for a
long time.
But for decades, yeah. there was a hockey Jets and yes. a football
sure.
Jets. I'm just saying we can all come up with our own names, right? So I don't get or like the Eagles. Same thing with the Cougars, 10-1 also. The Cougars, obviously, there's college – you know, a college – the Washington State Cougars is their basketball and football. So mm-hmm. why? How about the Firebirds at 19-2, Seattle Firebirds?
Firebirds.
Like the car? That's all I'm thinking. Is there a
car? That's probably the most
Firebirds?
Famous use. That's probably the most famous use. I think Firebirds come from like mythology or something,
okay.
maybe. But I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Similar to the Seals back at 11-1, at 8-1 is the Seattle Sea Lions.
I don't hate that. The
it's
Sea
got,
Lions.
I mean, the one thing I will.
Symbolism? What's the word?
Oh, alliteration?
Alliteration?
No.
It sounds good.
The one thing I will say about sea lions is it makes sense in a city where there's also a Seahawks football team.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Seahawks, sea lions. So
okay.
Maybe.
I don't hate it.
All right. 8-1, the Seattle Renegades. Also 8-1, the Kraken. Release.
Yep.
The Kraken.
I mean,
done.
I love
we
that.
We don't need to continue.
The
We're
Seattle
good.
Kraken.
I don't like that at
that's
all.
That's awesome.
Also 8-1, the Seattle Evergreens. Now it is the Washington is the evergreen state, but does
than a tree.
Right?
Nothing scarier than a big old tree. Yeah,
I don't.
You
got to
think
that.
About the mascot and all that kind of stuff. It's just an effing tree walking around.
I mean, Kevin, you nailed it. It is tough to name a professional franchise. It really is tough to. Nothing's going to fall out of the sky that everybody's going to go. Yeah, that's. I love that.
I have one like that that'll fall out of the sky, and everyone will fall in love with it immediately.
Right. We got three more that are in the running, but let's hear yours first.
The Seattle. Why didn't they just hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch's?
I don't think that fits on the jersey.
I like it.
I don't think you could put that on the
it
back.
It feels long.
Too long, but
I like it a lot.
At 13-2, the Seattle Rainiers, obviously a tribute to Mount Rainier, also a very dumb idea because the AAA Seattle Mariners baseball team in Tacoma is the Rainiers, so stop it. The Totems.
I don't think I would be worried about a minor league baseball team. Mm-hmm.
It's AAA, and it's right in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Again, why name it after a team
Plus
that
baseball.
Already exists?
Plus baseball.
The Totems, 6-1. The Totems have been a hockey team in Seattle, were for decades as part of the Pacific Coast League. That was a whatever the equivalent of AAA is, Junior Hockey League or whatever. The Totems played for many, many years, so people are kind of already familiar with that name as a hockey name. And the favorite for the Seattle expansion team, if it happens, is the Seattle Emeralds. The Seattle Emeralds at 9-2. Seattle, of course, is known as the Emerald City.
I like that.
What about the Seattle Gumwall?
Oh, that's good.
Wouldn't that be great?
What about the Seattle Flannels?
I don't feel like that's as good. Okay. Let's go to Kevin. I think he'll solve. Kevin from Anaheim will probably solve this for everybody. Kevin, what?
I got you guys. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good
I got
morning.
You guys handled.
All right.
The name is the Seattle Seamen.
Seattle Seamen.
Kevin. I mean, for a Kevin, that was strong.
How dare you?
Minutes away from the band Muse stopping by, talking about Thought Contagion, their new song, what's going on with their album, what kind of tour dates are they going to do, what have they been up to since the last time they came in, which, by the way, was only just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Muse is back. We're very lucky to have them with us on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up just after 7 a.m. here on K-Rock. Speaking of rockers, Gene Simmons, you guys, back in the news. Allie, you got to hate this dude, right?
I have actually done a ton of live shots with Gene Simmons.
You have? Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't have been more kind. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been more lovely.
Right.
Really?
I understand that is not a lot of women's
not typical.
Situation with him.
Right.
I
force
get
you to
that.
Sit on his lap?
Nope, but from where I'm standing, he was so lovely to me and would request that I was always the reporter when he had different things coming up.
That
sounds creepy right there, but yeah.
It's so nice to hear,
but no,
though.
He was honestly one of my favorite people to interview.
Not
so
right.
When I would hear new stories coming out, I was like, oh, am I ugly? I mean, what?
Why doesn't he like
sound like the guy I know? Well, Gene Simmons, as you know, we've laughed about it many times over the years on this show, is the ultimate businessman. There's almost no product you can think of that Kiss hasn't already figured out a way to make money off of. Everything from alcohol to coffins. I mean, there's a Kiss something. And Gene Simmons also is turning into quite a book factory. He's got one book that just came out in the fall. He's got another book coming out next fall. So we thought we'd find out what's going on with Gene Simmons, the legendary singer and bass player for the band Kiss, who joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Bean. Good morning, Kevin, Allie. You are all very handsome and powerful.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So this book that's one of the bestsellers on Amazon right now is On Power, My Journey Through the Corridors of Power and How You Can Get More Power. That's a lot of uses of the word power right there in the title, Gene.
It's a very important word. And besides Gene Simmons, it's the most important word in my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all Americans, by nature, are concerned with self-reliance and power and, of course, being sound financially. That's
right.
Really what our country is based on. That's what capitalism is all about. And
yeah, you talk a lot about rich people in the book, everybody from Oprah Winfrey to Elon Musk. You say, he who has the gold makes the rules. So that's primarily what this is a way for the readers to get good financial advice from somebody who's been there.
I take off the rock star mask, and I put on my financial advisor mask.
Mm.
And speaking of masks, Allie, I'd like to put one on you.
A mask?
Right on your face.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's. You just close your eyes. It's a bit creamy.
Okay.
Gene!
I am a financial advisor to the people in the rock and roll world. I have been for a long time. And now I'm just transferring it over into giving the everyday citizen the ability to understand Gene Simmons' outlook on finance. You know, I just got off the phone with Johnny Zeznik from the Goo Goo Dolls, advising him on his portfolio. Speaking of goo, Allie.
Wow. Why would you say that?
What do you mean? I don't understand. I was talking about the Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls, right. Okay.
The topic of goo, and it was on the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. What kind of advice can you give our listeners who maybe aren't making a ton of money, but they want to put something away for the future so that they don't find out they're broke at the end of it all?
Tremendous question. Tremendous question, Bean. The truth is, first, you have to take a look in the mirror and be a bit vain.
Oh.
We have this new humility that's going around. And take a second to say, I am important,
okay.
I matter, and I deserve to be very, very rich. Like I said, it's important to, every once in a while, be a little bit vain.
Okay.
Speaking of veins, right. Allie, I have something very well veined right here.
I thought we were having a conversation about money.
We were having a conversation about money and vanity and therefore vain. And
I see the progression.
Saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Allie's not used to
really
that, though.
That's the center of the book. That is the meat at the center of the book.
Okay. Okay.
Vanity and self-awareness. And speaking of meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You know what?
Mr. Meat at the center of my body.
Right. Okay. Could we switch gears maybe? And just because we already have a little bit of time left. I mentioned that you have a whole bunch of books. So that book is already out. But later this year, you have a second volume coming out as well.
That's right. In August of this year, in a much different topic, a much more serious topic, I'm writing a book called 27, and it's about all the famous celebrities, a lot of times in the rock world, which I am a part of, that have died at the age 27.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds sort of like a bummer book.
It is a bit of a bummer, but it's a cautionary tale.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but Gene Simmons doesn't touch alcohol or drugs, but I've watched so many of my comrades in the rock and roll world. you know, perish to drugs and alcohol. And oftentimes it's not just addiction. It's the tremendous burden of carrying the load of a generation's culture at the age of 27. Allie.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of carrying the load.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Alanis Morissette's Alternative Rock. It's a world famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show, about 20 minutes away from Muse. Very excited about that.
Me too. Hey, Jim Rome on the program today and Dr. Drupinski as well. First, though, I don't know how it happened or why it took so long, but yesterday, one of our international listeners, Ian, posted a picture on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page of his cats. We were surprised, A, by how doggone cute they are, and B...
Speak for yourself.
More, they're adorable, Kevin.
Yeah,
and B, more importantly, what Ian named his cat. So I think it's time to get him on the line and find out what's going on in Ian's world in beautiful Bath, England, in Somerset County. Ian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Good morning, Ali.
Good morning. Morning.
I know you can hear as well.
Hey, Ian.
And I'm Dave, if you're in the background listening.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I don't have his mic on.
Dave's here too, Ian.
Ian knows more about our show than I do.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin could have identified everybody on the show like that, Ian.
Right.
We have so many questions for you. Before we get to your lovely cats, we have to first ask, how did you, a man living in Britain, become a listener of the Kevin and Bean Show?
I actually started listening to you guys when I lived in the Middle East.
Okay, same question.
Well, yeah, we're huge there, you guys. We know that.
Same question there. How did you discover us?
I discovered you through the RIP Ralph Garman.
Okay.
And
so you're...
He's
not dead, but okay.
Hold on a second. I don't understand, but you said in the Facebook post that you've been listening to us for 10 years, though, so I don't understand that the connection there.
You know what? You guys actually told me Michael Jackson died.
Wow.
I've been listening that long.
Wow.
Okay. So we're not going to get an answer to how you discovered us.
Oh, no, through Ralph Garman's podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he said R.I.P. Ralph is what he said.
He so did
I
say that.
I did. I was just
yeah,
that was a joke.
That was a joke about joke.
Yes.
I don't understand comedy, you guys.
Yeah, it's all right.
You know that. All right. Well, that's great. Okay. So you've been listening for a long time. So you do the podcast every day. And we very much appreciate that, as we appreciate all of our podcast listeners around the world. So
and,
the reason
I've listened to you guys for so long, when I first hearing the name Dave the King of Mexico, I always thought that would be the best name for a cat ever.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like the name Fluffy or, you know, Spots or things like that. I think animals should have proper names.
Okay,
like
so you didn't have a cat, but you already discovered that you wanted the name. If you got a cat, it would be Dave the King of Mexico.
I already had a cat called William, and I had a dog called Brad.
Okay.
Right. Brad. I love Brad.
And when I heard Dave the King of Mexico on listening to you guys, I thought that next time I have an animal, that's going to be it, whether it would be a dog or a cat.
Okay, all right.
And me and my girlfriend had an agreement that if when we get cats, I can name them. And when we have kids, she can name them because I'm not responsible.
I think that's probably a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you're responsible enough to name a child. I don't at all. All right,
exactly.
So Dave the King of Mexico comes into your life, and then at some point you added another cat to the family. Tell me about that one.
Well, when we got Dave the King of Mexico, we also had another... Dave the King of Mexico had a twin sister, unfortunately, who passed away about a month ago.
Oh,
she was called E-Rock.
E-Rock.
Not K-Rock, E-Rock.
E-Rock,
okay.
But we knew for months that she was going to be... we knew for months that she wasn't going to be long for the world. And we didn't want to leave Dave on our own during the day. So we got the little fluffy Nordic Norwegian forest cat, which we named after you, Bean.
So one cat is Dave the King of Mexico, and one cat is Bean Baxter.
Yep.
And if I'm correct here, both are lady cats.
They're all ladies.
Okay.
They were all ladies, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And
when we first took Dave to the vet, the lady behind the counter tried writing down Dave, the Queen of Mexico.
No.
And I said, no.
Okay, right. It seems like a lot of work, Ian.
So the my kitten namesake here, Bean, has tiny little legs. Is there something wrong with her, or is that just what the breed looks like?
No, it's because she's so furry. It looks like she has tiny little legs. She's mm-hmm. only 5 months old, Bean.
I see. Okay.
But she has paws bigger than a Rottweiler.
Wow. Okay.
She's still a tiny little kitten.
Okay.
She's going to be a monster.
Well, that fits.
She's going to be the size of a tiger when she grows up.
What? Claire, she's climbing doors like a rock star. It was the vets. I must say, and I know it's a California show, but I must say Ashman Jones, the vets that looked after the one little E-Rock that passed away, mm-hmm. have been amazing. But they're the ones that said or tried changing it to Dave, the Queen of Mexico. Mm-hmm. I did point out to them that they're cats. They don't really understand English.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Fair enough.
It's an odd thing to have to point out to them.
Yeah, and true to Dave, the King of Mexico, you're Dave, the King of Mexico. She doesn't understand Spanish either.
Well, this is an unbelievable tribute, Ian. I can't. Yeah. I mean, it's such an honor to have somebody name a pet after any of us on the show.
I'm so honored as well.
And let's talk about that. We do have to ask: is there some specific reason why Kevin has been left out of the menagerie here?
You know, I was going to say when hopefully me and my partner get a house with a garden, we're going to get a dog, and it's going to be called Ryder.
Oh, that's nice.
All right. And a dog, Kevin.
And I love
so
dogs.
You win.
Yes.
Okay.
That dog's going to be so dumb.
Oh, man, you're going to have a lot of problems with that dog.
The dog will never figure out potty training. Dog won't know how to eat.
He'll run into walls.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for all the years of support listening to the podcast. We really, really do appreciate it. And thank you for finally posting on the Facebook page yesterday so we could see your lovely family, all right?
No, I love you guys. I know we've never met, but I class you guys as friends because, like I said, I listen to you guys every day. And you make my day, and you also make me look like a weirdo.
You made you look like a weirdo.
Yes, I suspect you were a weirdo long before we got involved.
And Ian, I just want to thank you for making Dave the King of Mexico the skinny one, because finally there is a skinny Dave the King of Mexico.
You can see it on our Facebook page or Instagram at Kevin and Bean if you'd like to see these two cats.
Thanks, Ian. I hope we talk again soon, sir.
I love you guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks. See you back.
Bye.
Bye now. Hey, Muse is here next. How about that?
Okay. I love those boys.
Same.
A lot of foreigners on the show today, by the way.
Right?
Just saying. Just talked to that Ian guy. Now we got mm-hmm. a couple other Brits coming in here. Well, I'm a little bit nervous about TakeOver. I mean, USA, USA, right?
Right. And Dave was just in here.
You guys should add Ian to the show and get rid of me. Honestly.
He was very entertaining.
Right?
That's for sure.
And he can use the English language. He can do that.
Let's get to Allie's What's Happening, and then we'll bring Muse in here to talk about the new single, plans for the tour, and so much more here on The Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Allie?
It's very rare that a Frank Ocean song just comes right out of the blue. Ooh. Because you're usually waiting for months and months, and nothing's happening.
Right.
And then you're watching just a video waiting for him to walk into it. Do you remember that with his last release? Mm-hmm. I watched that for like 2 days. I'm like, okay, there's just a ladder. What's happening? Well, yesterday he released a song. It's a cover. And I'm going to tell you, I in a million years, if you told me to guess what his cover would be, I would not come in the realm of
Call Me Maybe? By Carly Rae Jepsen?
I mean, that seems
like a good guess, though. If you say in a million years, you would never come up with it.
Right.
Is it Sabotage by the Beastie Boys?
It is not Sabotage.
Which I really want to hear Frank Ocean attempt.
No, I will say, you first heard this song. Here's your hint.
All the Single Ladies.
Nope.
Okay.
In the 1961 movie Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top.
No. Great guess, though. Great guess. Would you like me to tell you?
Please do.
It is the Oscar-winning Henry Mancini Penn standard, Moon River, and here is Frank Ocean's take.
Hey, river, wider than a mile, crossing and
Wow.
Okay.
I like it, but I don't understand why it exists.
Hey, agreed.
Just accept it with open arms and say, thank you, Frank Ocean.
How do you pick that
May
song?
I have some more.
But that seemed great.
That was wonderful. I don't know when you guys started loving Frank Ocean, but somebody sent me the mixtape of Nostalgia in 2011 when it came out. I listened to that for months, just front to back, and fell in love with this man.
Oh, he's a major talent.
Oh,
for sure.
Love him so much. Moon Great. River, you guys.
Moon River.
Good Lord.
I mean, we were close with leg, what did you say, Bean? ZZ Top?
Sharp Legs.
Sharp Legs, man.
Look, I was just taking a stab.
Right?
I mean, very close.
Very close.
Very close. You guys, Walking Dead returns to AMC on Sunday, February 25th. Are you prepared for the first ever naked zombie? Are you prepared?
Yeah, I heard you. Okay. I heard the question.
All right.
Do we need that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, there's an episode where we did our first fully nude walker. We've never done that before. That's a quote from the executive producer, Greg Nicotero. No word on whether it's a male or female zombie.
This is so not sexy.
But don't you think, like, then I may have my zombie facts incorrect, but, like, don't things fall off?
Yes.
So maybe you won't really know if it's a male or female.
Very possible.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
So you'll be like, I don't know.
Right.
And then,
but do we need a naked walker? Is that something that story needs?
I think it's shocking there hasn't been one yet. Like, why are they all fully clothed?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they're not fully clothed, but, yeah.
What was
that
the...
That is odd.
Forgive me if this is a tangent, but there are no zombie animals either?
Yeah, there's been dogs.
There have been zombie dogs?
Zombie dogs.
Chip?
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember.
There have been dogs.
There have been
zombie dogs?
There have been dogs. What, Dave?
There's no zombie animals. No zombie transferred animals.
Okay.
No zombie animals. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. So, naked zombie on, what is it, Sunday night?
Sunday the 25th.
All right. Week from Sunday.
Yeah. So, looking forward to that. There are dogs. Zombie dogs? Oh. That just happened.
Well, that's why dogs. I went right to Chip as a backup.
That was fun.
Ian would have known.
Ian would have known. You guys, this is my favorite story now. Apparently, according to Claudia Ackley, just a lady hiking with her daughters through Lake Arrowhead, Bigfoot is not only real, but she is now going to sue the state of California to acknowledge it. So she's walking with her daughters through Lake Arrowhead at dusk, and they claim to have encountered the legendary hairy beast. She says her daughters were staring up into a tree, and there it was, a barrel-chested creature weighing about 800 pounds with a head three times the size of humans. He looked like a Neanderthal man with hair all over him. He had solid black eyes. He had no expression on his face at all. He did not show his teeth. He just stared at the three of us. So rangers tried to convince her and her daughters, ma'am, you saw a bear.
Could that have been a bear?
What you saw in that tree was indeed a bear. This woman is irate. She knows what she saw. And she has now sued the state, saying it's been derelict in acknowledging the creature's existence. And now it's tarnishing her public image and credibility.
She's straight insane.
Claudia Ackley, we need you on the phone. We need to talk to you. I want to believe.
I mean, she's the best.
She's great.
Right.
We need to speak
and
with
we
her.
We would love to talk to you.
Am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
You're right. And wouldn't you just expect the government to lie about this?
Right.
Like 100.
We all watch
like
X-Files.
We know what's going on,
we
right?
We know what happens in the woods.
Yeah, she's right.
Let's talk some birthdays. Reality star Omarosa. Actress Amber Riley. Simpsons creator Matt Groening. Ross and Matt Duffer. Those are the guys that created Stranger Things. Actress Alex Bornstein. And Incubus singer Brandon Boyd. That's what's happening.
Billboard Magazine calls our next guest today's greatest arena rock band. They're multiple Grammy winners. Hey, don't laugh. That's what Billboard said. I'm not saying it. Billboard said it. They're multiple Grammy winners and have sold over 20 million albums. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt and Dom from Muse are here. Welcome, boys.
Yes. Hi. How's it going?
How's it going,
First of
guys?
All, R.I.P. Chris. I liked that dude. I missed that dude.
He's still alive. Being
Oh, he just didn't come in for the interview. I got you. How are you? Welcome back. How are you guys?
Yeah, great. Yeah, how you doing?
Well, we're fine, and I think we need to start with first of all, we will get into the new song. That's why we're all here. But we need to start with Floyd. How's he doing? Is he all right?
Yeah, he's great. He's got the cone of shame, as you guys.
He does have the cone of shame
on his head because you know, castrated him a few days ago.
Hopefully not you.
His voice, you just do it with your teeth.
His voice might be high enough for an album now, basically.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can find on YouTube these days.
Oh, no, Tom!
Imagine how confusing that is for a little dog to wake up and go, what just happened?
And the worst thing about it is we had, like, this party on the weekend and, like, there was loads of dogs there. There was, like, five other dogs there and all they were doing was just licking his... You know, sort of essence.
That's a hell of a party.
It's just gone empty.
Yeah, but all the dogs were like just sniffing him up, and he was like, you know, he had his cone of shame on, just getting sniffed up all day long. I felt really bad for him.
Well, now Floyd knows what it's like to be a lady.
Well, we are delighted to see Floyd. We're very happy to see him. All right, so I told you right before the mics went on that I feel like it was like 3 weeks ago that you boys came in and hand delivered Dig Down, and you're here back with another new song, and I like this trend of you hand delivering stuff to K Rock.
Oh, it's just like, we're going to make a habit of this. We'll be back in another 2 weeks with another song. another one after that. This is how we roll. But time's flying, isn't it? I mean, it feels like three weeks, doesn't it? But it's actually like what?
It's like it's May, I think.
Yeah, it's May. Yeah,
quite a while.
Was it last May? Or
yeah. I think it was last one. Yeah.
Wow. And you guys work slow.
And I think you told us at the time that the plan was you were going to be single, probably maybe even single, and then album.
I think we're going to try and go single album if we can, but we'll see. We speeded up you'll be pleased to hear, we speeded up, so we got this song done. We've got about another four or five in the bag now. And, well, more than that, maybe. Maybe
Where's
seven. Maybe seven or eight.
The
bag's in Santa Monica on 2nd Street. Yeah, it is. It is. Actually, I shouldn't give the address away because we might get we might get hounded. But somewhere on 2nd Street, there's a bag of songs, basically.
Are you in the mode of, hey, guys, we're at work now and we're making an album? Or is it just somebody calls somebody when somebody has an idea for a new song? Hey, let's run down there and cut it.
We found ourselves in the mode, haven't we, this last two, three
we
weeks?
Have, yeah.
Last year was patchy because we had a bunch of shows. We did like 35 shows or something. And so we did that Dig Down song. Then we started recording a couple tracks about September, October time. And we sort of got a bit lazy and went, nah, whatever. It was Merry Christmas, see you in the new year.
Take some time off.
And then, the new year hit and I was suddenly hit with like this desire to get in and work
and
inspired
every day?
And everything.
You go every day?
We've been every day for the last two weeks, yeah.
Wow.
And, we did actually. No, where was it? We did the bass and drum stuff.
We first Malibu. We started in Malibu in Shangri-La Studios.
That was this year or last year? That was last year.
That was last year.
Oh no!
You're right.
No. Yeah. I'm a bit flaky today. I've been living in LA too long. I'm getting flaky. Memory's flaky. That was last year. So.
Yeah, we started last year in Malibu, and now like finishing off a batch of songs in Santa Monica, okay. But we're close.
How many songs do you need for an album?
10, I believe, is the golden number. But I think there's 10 that we're working on. But we might have a few more spares that we might throw out now, in some other way. Yeah.
You spoke with, I don't remember if you talked to Nicole, you talked to Kat, you talked to somebody at Acoustic Christmas last month, and you were saying how Thought Contagion, which is the new song that comes out today, is you felt it was inspirational, it was optimistic, it was kind of a... Am I wrong? Is that not what your thoughts were?
I would not describe Thought Contagion that way, no. I think Dig Down was pretty... that was like the last gasp of hope.
Yeah, it was positive.
Yeah. And this one is more on the dark side, let's say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's actually a track on the album called The Dark Side.
All right.
Which is one of our favorite tracks, actually, but we're just working on that at the moment. But
this new song does sound like it was written for a stadium, though.
It was written for a crowd to sing along.
Club, right.
Yeah, it sounds like a crowd, actually, doesn't it? Yeah. So that was Chris and I. We did that. We did about 10 each, didn't we, or something on that one? Or 15 each?
Something like that.
Yeah, to try and make the sound of it. We're still trying to get Dom to sing on something. When are you going to sing on something, Dom?
Yeah, Dom.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
You sound very enthusiastic about it.
I sing in shower and my car.
Okay.
So
right.
If we set up a mic in there, then might be able to get some vocal takes.
You have so many song titles. I'm thinking about everything from Madness to Resistance to even to Thought Contagion that sound like they are episodes of Black Mirror.
Oh, very good call. Great call. Yeah. I've become a... I watched Black Mirror the first season when it was out on TV, like whenever that was, like 7 or 8 years ago, something crazy. Yeah. It was just like 3 episodes, and I didn't know what it was, and I loved it.
It's the freakiest thing being made, isn't it?
And now it's been on Netflix, and I've sort of caught up with the whole thing in the last actually 6 months. So that's a good call, because that's there's a lot of influence, simultaneous influence on that, from that to this album, I'd say. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, we got a chance to hear the song before you guys came in. Ali, your thoughts, please, upon one listen of the new Muse record.
Whoa.
I mean, it speaks to where we're at as a society, and it's dark and
awesome.
Wow. It's awesome. You're not listening to that, like we were talking about. You're not playing that in a club and people are like, what's happening? You're playing that at a stadium and everyone is feeling that song.
Yeah.
And it had to me, which no one else agreed with, the beginning, I was like, oh, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, no, someone else said that. Someone said it sounded like Halloween, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Only the beginning, though, because it's got that strange... That's my vocal that's been pitched into a synthesizer and
really?
Yeah, turned into a strange sort of synth instrument.
It sounded like a soccer stadium chant to me in places, like the kind of melody you could picture 90,000 people singing along.
Yeah.
How about you, Kevin? Your early reviews of
exactly
of
the same.
Song.
I thought stadium. I thought that's stadium, the only place you could play. You try and play that at the Whiskey?
Nope. All right. So Matt and Dom are here from the band Muse. I know this is weird. We're not allowed to play the whole song because it premieres at 11:30 this morning. Okay. So at 11:30, Cat Corbett is going to have the entirety of the brand new Muse song. But we worked very hard with your reps from the record company, and they allowed us to play a couple of seconds of it. So if that's okay with you guys.
Of course, yeah. Whatever
we'd like
do,
to world premiere just a,
play the
a
whole
few,
thing.
A few seconds. I don't even say that because we'll do it. A few seconds of brand new Muse here on K-Rock.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That's definitely a remix.
I like it. I mean, Matt, you're on.
I like it.
Sounds
I like
great.
What you're doing there. 11:30 this morning here, Thought Contagion. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. We are celebrating the release of a brand new single from the band called Thought Contagion. We were just talking all about it, and you'll hear it on the Cat Corbett show at 11:30. We'll be playing that for you live on K-Rock today if you want to check that out.
I'm going to listen.
That's good. You should.
It's a good song. I don't know if you've heard it, Don, but it's really good.
Since the last time we had you in, a couple of other things have happened that I wanted to ask you about. One of which is, what's this side gig that you have where you play with a bunch of other musicians from other bands get together and jam?
Like Paul McCartney, you mean?
Yeah. Well, just to drop too many names.
I like calling Paul McCartney a bunch of other musicians.
No, you have the Jet guy and the Zootons guy,
oh,
right?
Yeah. It was a couple of birthday parties that a friend of ours called Jamie, it was his birthday party, and he's like a huge Beatles fan, and it's his dream to like put together a Beatles tribute group basically, and he sort of banded together all of his favorite friend musicians, which we were in that group. And Dr. Pepper's Jaded Hearts Club, here we are. Yeah,
but how do you look, everybody's
we have a new single again. Coming
how
out
you,
in a
how do you get
months?
Him to come to your party though?
McCartney. Well, actually, yeah, we ended up. I'm friendly with Stella McCartney, so we played at her fashion thing. It was like a show. It wasn't a fashion show. It wasn't like a catwalk thing. It was like a.
It's like a party
celebrating her life or whatever. And he happened to be there. And Ringo was there as well, which is amazing.
Is that right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And totally unexpected. We were just jamming along, and Paul jumped up and started singing. Helter Skelter. What's the first? Saw Her Standing There. We got two songs of Paul.
Just the first track.
Yeah,
we waltzed up on stage and just couldn't help himself.
Do you just look at each other and go, this is happening?
It was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we're in that rarefied group now. You can say we played like, you know, Beatles with a Beatle.
Did Ringo walk up and Dom's like, I got this, dude.
Just back off, mate.
what would 17-year-old Matt and Dom think about that visual of you guys on stage playing with Paul McCartney?
Probably, definitely wouldn't believe that. I was playing the bass as well. I thought he was going to take the bass off me at one point.
He's pretty good.
That's not happening. I've got to stay up here. I'm staying up here on my violin bass.
I would love to have seen you fighting him for a bit. Yeah.
Dom, someone's right. You're lefty, aren't you? Left-handed.
Yeah,
someone gave him your guitar and it wasn't plugged in.
He was like, what's this
crap? And like threw it away.
Yeah, we tried to get him to play guitar, but didn't quite. There was a technical difficulty. But there's a great picture of him playing my guitar.
All right. Wow. Nice. Yeah. Now, I know we're all fanboying out because, for God's sakes, he's Paul McCartney, but he's like 74 years old or something like that and still sounds and plays amazingly, right?
Yeah, it's nearly enough to make me turn vegan. I mean, that's I mean, there's got to be something going on there.
Right?
I mean, he is seriously healthy and his voice is great and his energy is great.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if it's... if it's anything to do with his eating habits.
That's very cool. That is very cool.
Or just positive mentality. He's got, he's got an amazing vibe. Do you know what I mean? Just about him. Yeah. He's got a great energy and just a cool guy.
Yeah. All right, the last thing I wanted to ask you about that happened since you were in a few months ago, and that is the charity gig that you did in London, I think at Shepherd's Bush or something a few months ago. And you did a set with almost songs you never play and B-sides and stuff like that that you dragged out for the first time in a lot of cases. And I'm wondering, how difficult is that, even though you wrote and recorded those songs, to be able to reproduce them on stage when you haven't ever played them before?
Yeah, it was pretty challenging, actually, yeah. I mean, like, we had a couple of days to rehearse, and two or three of the songs we'd never played before. And it was basically a full gig of deep B-sides, deep cuts, and some unreleased tunes, wasn't it? Well, not tunes that were never on any album or anything, you know what I mean?
Is it nerve-wracking a bit?
Oh, it was actually great. Really, you know? It felt great, yeah, because it was like there were some of the deeper, weirder tracks that I thought would never see the light of day anywhere, do you know what I mean? So it was great to have a reaction like that.
Are there songs that you have that you love, 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 but just don't seem to strike a chord with anybody? You know what I mean? Like, certain bands have songs that take off and the public love them and you can't get away without playing it.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are some that you just are in love with and nobody else shares your passion.
There's definitely a couple here and there, but I'd have to think about it.
Well, like Fury.
That was one that was, I mean, it was my favourite song on the Absolution album, but Dom and Chris shot it off the album because they thought it wasn't good enough.
Way to go,
that?
Dom.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to blame you. I'm going to blame you on that one. And Easily was the other one that didn't make the album, but I think should have been on the album.
But yeah, Fury is a song that we really love playing, but no one really knows it apart from, like,
well,
the
let me play a clip
fans.
From it. It's good stuff, you guys. All right, before we run out of time, you've got some festivals for 2018, Bottle Rock and Bonnaroo, and I think you're doing a little bit of Europe and whatnot. Lay it out for me the next 12 months for Muse and Muse fans.
Yeah, so we're doing a couple of festivals to keep ourselves sharp this year whilst making the album. We're going to finish off the album, put out at least another one or two singles after Thought Contagion. Album, hopefully, later this year or early next year, later this year, depending on what we do with this single thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then next year we'll do, like, some insane, like, you know, production world tour thing. Like, you know, we'll reinvent the wheel of touring, basically, yeah.
Do you look forward to that? Do you look forward to a year or two of touring and coming up with a whole new stage set and whole thing?
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward to this one because we've got some pretty cool ideas. We're going to be doing something hopefully that's never been done before, I think.
And that's Paul McCartney play with you every night.
Yeah, basically, that's it. Get him on for Helter Skelter to close the show. That would be gold, yeah.
All right, 11:30 this morning, Cat Corbett is going to premiere Thought Contagion for you, brand new music from Muse. We've been lucky enough to hear it early today. I think the kids are going to like it, you guys.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
I think this is going to be you're going to be hearing this one a lot this spring and summer here on the world famous K-Rock. All right, anything else, boys, from you before we let you go?
We love you.
And you as well. Bye, Floyd. It's better.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget that brand new song from Muse will debut at 11:30 this morning with Cat Corbett, and it is awesome.
I think people will enjoy it.
Remember the Floyd times?
Oh, Floyd was so cute.
I miss Floyd. I miss Floyd with his cone of shame. Hey, guys, two things. Mike, I'm glad you're here, actually, because both of these pertain to you. One is that we're going to be talking to Jim Rome in about 20 minutes, and we're going to talk about the story of an MMA fighter, UFC fighter, who had to go to the hospital immediately after his fight because his testicles were crushed.
Yeah. That's not a good day.
No, it's not a good day at work, is it?
No. Win or lose the fight, you have a crushed testicle.
Yeah, I know you will enjoy the blood clots, the whole deal. So we'll get into excruciating detail on that. But thing two, and the reason I'm glad you're here, is we got a little airtime here. Apparently, you've been fighting a fight and losing it since June 20th, 1782, when the bald eagle was chosen as the emblem of the United States of America. And you have been paralyzed with anger over this decision ever since.
Dave, how did this start? We were watching an eagle cam?
We were watching the bald eagle cam from Big Bear, where two eggs were recently hatched.
Right.
And it was amazing.
Oh, it's so cute. And
look at it's
bird.
Amazing because these birds are so majestic. You can see the babies being born out of the eggs just rise from the egg and just smash through and be born and see the symbol of America just come from these eggs.
So everybody was on the same page. And then, and then Mike stepped in.
And I go, look at those crap birds. Look at those BS pussy birds. They suck.
Wow.
It's
I thought we were talking about the bald eagle.
We are.
It has no business representing our country. I'm a proud American.
Same.
We are inarguably one of the greatest superpowers this planet has ever seen. Okay. And we deserve something majestic and powerful and
it's
courageous.
It's not a majestic bird?
No!
This bird, its wingspan is so huge when it flies and glides through the air. It is so majestic. Have you seen it in the wild?
Yes.
No, you
yes,
haven't.
Yes, I have. Okay. Yes, right? I'm sorry that David King in Mexico, who goes on a hike at Runyon twice a year, is going to tell me about the great outdoors. God damn you. Shut up. I see bald eagles. You see a bald eagle, and right. You say, huh, look, that is a large bird with an amazing wingspan. Afraid of sparrows, afraid of anything
no.
else, it will drive it out of its own
no.
environment.
No.
What we need is an animal that will stand its ground, dig its feet in. Listen, I see a hawk coming. I urinate in my pants. I'm like, I had a hawk attack me on a.
You
I was jogging. It was like, rah, rah! Damn, it's like an F-16, like it was an airship. I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You know why?
I've seen bald eagles. I was like, look at that puss. And
yeah,
then,
here's why.
And then, by the way, you know what they do? They dive down, which is an amazing. People, like human beings, think about it. They go, wow. You're flying through the air and you soar into water and get a fish out.
Right.
Do you know?
That's impressive.
It's except that it's completely inept.
What are you talking about?
Scientists say that a bald eagle will successfully get something on a dive one of 20 times. Do you know what a seagull does?
A seagull
85%.
It's trash. It eats trash.
I don't care. My point being is that it's
a non-moving target.
Most of the time, and this is science, Dave. Most of the time, the bald eagle ends up scavenging for already dead animals that have been killed by other predators because it's lazy and it sucks.
I've never one time thought about the bald eagle being the symbol of the United States, other than that's the official bird.
Here's the thing, another thing. I'm really lucky, and I don't take this for granted. I'm very lucky to have a full, nice head of hair. And I probably will for the rest of my life. It's just genetics, okay?
Sure.
Every single one of my friends, desperately trying to hold on to that last strand of hair. There's nothing worse for a guy. There's nothing worse for any male species than balding. Except maybe getting your testicles crushed.
But
in an
you know
MMA
why
fight.
I call the bald eagle,
what,
right?
Where's the Eddie Van Halen eagle? Where's like the beautiful majestic? Like, oh, look at your hair. Look at that freaking sweet hair, bro.
Look at the feathers on the head. The reason why it's called a bald eagle is because it's a white head, and that's what it used to be called bald back in the 1700s.
I'm also
that's
a big fan of Westerns, and the number one thing you could tell a guy to get him really riled up, the biggest insult you could say to a man in
right.
the Old West,
right.
You're yellow. Man, you're yellow. Yellow beak! It's crap!
It does have a yellow beak.
All other eagles have uniform colors. They're the wedge-tailed eagle. Beautiful, jet black, big glowing eyes. It destroys. It eats emus. That should be our bird. I got attacked by
what we're yelling about.
Listen to me.
Emus
listen
are
to me.
America,
okay.
By the way.
Calm down.
I'm saying.
Okay. What bird would you say?
Calm down. Go ahead, Mike. Calmly.
All right. Wedge-tailed eagle. Let's stay an eagle. Hawk. Condor. So gangster.
Yeah,
the
almost
most...
dying out.
Yeah. So a real man, apparently.
Talk about a scavenger. Wait
Even,
for everything
listen,
to die.
I'll gank Benjamin Franklin. The wild turkey
is the worst.
No, it is not. Listen. Have you ever come face to face with a real wild turkey?
Yeah, it's stupid. And
it's
it comes
terrifying.
And it comes and charges you, and then you shoot it in the face. You know what happens when you try to shoot an eagle? It moves. The eagle is one of the hardest birds to shoot in the air.
Because there's not that many of them.
There's plenty of them.
No.
I'm positive that Dave's helping. So
no,
let's go to
that
the
is true.
For 1 second. Joshua's on the line. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hi.
Good morning. The bald eagle.
The bald eagle. Oh, beautiful animal.
Yeah.
I saw them flying down and catching fish in Catalina Island when I was young. We went fishing off of Catalina, and they are just gorgeous.
I think that they're beautiful as well.
And, yeah.
And represent it's America, because that's what we are.
Allie's beautiful. Doesn't
too,
mean she
so
should
I
be representing the country. We should wear
right,
my courage.
I mean, hear him out. Hear Mike out.
Finally, he's making sense,
right?
Allie.
Mike, I mean, say it again for the people in the back.
But just repeating the fact, Joshua, that they're pretty... It doesn't mean that they should be representing our country, and they're not. They're very, very, very immoral, crappy,
immoral.
Do you know how
immoral.
Much?
Yeah.
You know how much space
Wait, no,
they
how
cover?
Are they immoral?
I don't know. He's
how are they
crazy.
Immoral?
Well, if you'd like to, Ask one of the most interesting and fascinating Americans ever. Benjamin Franklin says...
Mike has paperwork.
With all his injustice, referring to the bald eagle, he is never in good case but like these among men who live by sharping and robbing others. He is generally poor and often very lousy. Besides, he is a rank coward. The little king bird, no bigger than a sparrow, will attack an eagle and drive him away from his habitat. What a bitch. He is therefore by no
Franklin
means...
say what a bitch?
He is therefore by good, no yeah. means a proper emblem for the brave and honest America who have driven all the king birds away
Here's
from
why
our country.
You keep going back to the little sparrow. Here's why it doesn't even bother with the sparrow. Because it doesn't even make a speck. It doesn't even care about the sparrow. You know what the bald eagle did in the Revolutionary War? It attacked redcoats, and it protected its land. And that's why USA, it is America.
USA. You know what it does now?
I mean...
You know what it does now? The number one offender of flying right into airplane engines. Dumbass! Even pigeons. Pigeons, I feed them poo. I've watched a pigeon eat other animal poo-poo. And I'm like, you know what it does? He goes, wow, that's a giant loud thing. Better go the other way. Eagle like, rah! I wonder if there's some fish in there so I can one out of 20 times maybe get one.
Yeah, because only an eagle can get that high with the planes. A pigeon can't get that high.
Stand by, Dave. Stand by, Dave. Everybody calm down.
What year was it? Was it considered the national?
1782. It became the emblem of the United States. Right. And Mike's been mad ever since. Okay. Let's see what Oscar has to say. He wants to weigh in on this debate.
Hey, Oscar.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Bald eagle.
So I wanted to agree with Mike that the bald eagle should be changed. Because
is the bald eagle a little bitch, though?
No, I wouldn't say that. It's a beautiful animal, sure.
It is beautiful. But all right, go ahead.
Do you know the sound that a bald eagle makes? The sound of, like the classical caw sound that you...
That is a great point, eagles? What Oscar's about to lay on you people. What does it sound like?
Yeah. It's not... That's not a real bald eagle sound.
What
does
it sound like? When you see a bald eagle in the movie, they have overdubbed it with a hawk because the bald eagle sounds like a... Like...
You understand? They take a James Earl Jones bird to overdub the bitch ass Gilbert Gottfried bird that we have as our representative. That's what.
So Oscar,
that's what they sound like.
So Oscar, what do you think should be the bird?
Well, I mean, I think we should keep it because keep it as the bald eagle, but as the red falcon because of that.
Those are dangerous.
Oh, the red falcon.
Yeah. It's my favorite Marvel movie character.
Red falcon is so gay. Any falcon.
Yes.
Any hawk or any falcon wins.
Yes, that is true because the falcons are the best. But I'm not saying that as a football fan. I'm saying that as a bird. But it's not as majestic and beautiful as the bald eagle, and that's what America is. America is a great, beautiful country, just like the bald eagle.
What would Mike have to do to overturn this, Bean? I'm sure you're the only one that knows.
Die. Be a martyr for your stupid turkey.
I think it would be a multiple years process that would end up having to be voted on by Congress, I fear. So it's not going to happen in our lifetime.
So get busy, Mike.
I think you lose this one, Mike, but I think your points are well taken. I think a lot of people are more disappointed in this country than they were before this conversation.
Thank you.
And that's hard to say.
I think we've got Mike calmed down in the other room.
Wow.
It's touch and go.
I've known that guy a long time. I don't think I've ever seen him as fired up about anything that ever happened in the world than he is about the bald eagle.
He really takes it personally, doesn't he?
I really didn't understand all the passion, but he sure has it. It's the world-famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Jim Rome coming up next, talking Olympics and so much more. First, Allie, what's happening?
You guys know my love for Dateline.
Yep.
And you know my love for Josh Mankiewicz. I think he's great. Mm-hmm. Keith Morrison tends to be, you know, the favorite of most people.
Yeah.
Because that voice is just legendary. And
he's
the one
that Kristen Bell has the big crush on,
right? Oh, 100%, yeah. And a lot of people have said over the years, I could listen to Keith Morrison read the phone book. That's how much I enjoy his voice. Well, thank you, NBC.
I'm sorry, but that's just a saying, right?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Thank you, NBC, for posting video yesterday for the lovers out there on Valentine's Day of Sir Keith Morrison reading a phone book.
239 South Main Street. 815 Bias Street. 606 West Highway 20. 215 Northwood Street. 1341 Chestnut Street. 433 East Highway 20. 201 North Main Street. 10 Blue Moon Ridge, 415 North Cherry Street.
Yeah, not, a little more. Not.
Sorry,
not
that's
it.
Yeah, that's it.
Need okay. more time?
A little bit.
Was I have to ask because it's Keith Morrison. Was he leaning on something?
Funny you should mention because that's his big thing. There's an Instagram page dedicated to Keith Morrison leans. However, Kristen Bell, I love that you brought her up, interviewed him, and she asked him about his legendary lean. And here's what he said. Have you noticed that these reporters go on camera and they're trying to explain a story and they'll be just waving their hands a lot? It drives me crazy. So it was in response to that, I thought, well, I'll just lean on something. It's more casual. We're just talking here. He takes his lean very seriously.
The entire plan.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Oh, I like it so much.
He's super old, right, Keith Morrison?
I mean, I'd say he's like maybe in his late 60s.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
Early 70s, maybe?
He just looks terrible, then.
He looks real old.
What is wrong with you?
I thought he was like 100.
Okay, someone needs to Google that because I need to now know how old he is. Because he, A, doesn't look terrible, and B, you're just wrong.
Okay. I mean, Bean's going to call him. Bean's going to say he looks terrible no matter what his age is.
He's only 70.
70 years old.
Just 70.
You know who his son is, right?
No.
No.
Okay, look it up.
Jim?
Why don't you just tell us if you know? Why do we have to look up something that you already know?
Because it might not be right.
She doesn't know. She started talking and then realized
he became a stepfather.
Yep, sure did.
To future Friends star Matthew Perry.
Yeah, right? Huh,
how about that? So he married Matthew Perry's mom?
Uh-huh.
How about that? I did not know that. I hope there's a Friends reunion.
Right?
Right, Kevin?
Imagine being Matthew Perry's stepdad. Woof. Woof. What a nightmare. Right? Who's with me? Anyone?
Yeah. Well, speaking of shows reuniting, Roseanne, Murphy Brown, Will and Grace, all of these were examples that one Ellen used on a man named Jerry Seinfeld, saying, hey, all these shows are coming back. Would it ever happen with you? Bring back the soup Nazi, Newman, Ellen, Elaine.
Elaine?
Yep, all those people.
Did you call her Ellen?
Well, he was on Ellen.
Oh.
So, she said they're making resurgence, and Jerry admitted, quote, it's possible.
It's possible?
That's
shocking.
Huge. It's possible. And then the audience lost their minds. They started cheering.
Right.
And he looked pleased that they had that reaction. But may I remind you, Jerry, that audience cheers for anything.
Yeah, that's very
true.
Ellen, they're pretty liquored up, right?
Oh, they have to be. I need to be in that audience. They have so much fun. But I think I'd be in. Ellen, what is wrong with me? Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to be done with Veep this year.
Elaine?
Maybe they do just a one-off, just 1 year.
I'd be fine with that.
Right?
Yeah, that's a show that needs to be revisited.
I agree. Bean? You're strangely silent about a Seinfeld reunion.
I don't really have any Seinfeld feelings. I never saw it. So
wait, I'm sorry. What?
So I watched the finale.
He watched only the finale.
It was good.
And he thought it was good.
Wait, you never watched Seinfeld at all?
Never did. Never seen it. But, I mean, I know it's beloved. I know people love it. And I'm fine with it coming back. I think it would
be good if it came back because then you would be able to see the quality of that show.
Yeah. And I don't have any doubt that it's good. And I like all of those actors. It's just, you know, you can't watch them all. And I missed that one.
Allie's just got her mouth wide open.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
I am in shock right now. That you...
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, look, there are lots of shows that people don't watch. You know, maybe I was watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something at that time.
Listen, Bean is a weird dude in that when I first met him, he didn't have a television. Literally didn't have a television. Can you imagine that now?
No.
Look, I love TV, but as we always say, you can't watch everything.
Right, but you should watch maybe the best comedy of the 90s.
Well, Okay, maybe that's a blind spot in my TV viewing history. But, you know, I brought up Buffy because that was another show that was popular at the same time.
Right.
I never missed an episode of. So, I mean, I was always, there's probably something else I was watching at the time that Seinfeld was on. That's all.
Well, you probably could relate more to Buffy.
That's true.
Than Seinfeld.
But,
that's true.
But I'm saying.
Plus, it was a whole half hour.
So I hope it comes back. That's what I'm saying. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Whew. That took a turn for me. Some birthdays for you. Actress Amber Riley, Simpsons creator Matt Groening, Stranger Things creators Ross and Matt Duffer. You've got actresses Alex Borstein and Jane Seymour, and Incubus singer Brandon Boyd. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
For years, we've been reminding you that Jim Rome does the best sports show in America from 9 till noon West Coast at jimrome.com if you don't have a radio affiliate near you. But now, I want to remind you again, you can watch the show on the CBS Sports Network, same time, 9 till noon. Jim joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Jim, how are you, sir?
And for years, the two of you have been lying out your asses. Stop saying that. What's up, guys? Good morning.
Do I understand correctly, or is this not true, that Jim Rome does not have the Olympic fever?
I'm going to say that's not true. I'm going to say, like I said last week, that the Winter Olympics always kind of sneak up on you. You don't even know it's an Olympic year. And then a few days in, everybody is hooked, and it happened again. And yes, I'm down. I'm into it. Thought the games got off to an amazing start when SoCal native Chloe Kim was killing it with her snowboard.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
God, she's so cool. Freaking talented, unbelievable it and charisma, and a crazy Twitter game to match.
Amazing.
So I thought that was cool.
Did you see that?
Allie was wondering who's going to be the first food sponsor that she gets, because there's somebody going to pay her a lot of money to start tweeting about their McDonald's or
whoever,
whatever.
Whoever makes churros. She tweeted, "I'm nervous. I'm really nervous." And then I had a couple of churros, and then I was good. So when you're nervous, eat a churro. I mean, she's tweeting between events. She is absolutely awesome. So I thought that was cool. I was really into Shaun White.
Same.
In the sense that he won the gold in 06. He won it in 2010. He missed out completely in 2014. And then this guy's grinding to get back before the games and breaks his face. Mm-hmm. Literally breaks his face in October trying to execute a move that he had to execute to win gold. So it was all good until we started talking about his complicated legacy. And then it wasn't all good because he's got that ugly sexual harassment lawsuit.
Yeah.
So... So
did you think that was appropriate at the Olympics in that interview for somebody, for a reporter to bring that up?
Yes, I did. I did. I'll tell you what was inappropriate. His response to it when he said, "Look, I'm not here to talk about gossip," which, wrong answer, Sean.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment's not gossip, and clearly somebody got to him right away and told him that because he doubled back. So my bottom line is, this guy is an unbelievable snowboarder, but if those allegations are true, then he's a terrible dude and a bag. Right.
And you can be both. You can be both.
Yeah.
Am I alone in waving the flag on Michaela Schifrin? I love her.
She's great. By the time this thing's said and done, I think she's probably going to be the breakout star of the games. Got off to a great start. She won a gold in an event that is far from her best, and it's only going to get better from here. So she's got some work to do, but I think that when it's all said and done, she is the breakout star. Let the record reflect, I am cool and down with the Olympics.
All right.
Having fun.
Sounds like it. That was very
having
very
fun with it.
Thank you, Jim. All right, let's move on to something else I know you're down with. The Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo used to be on the Celtics together. Last night they found each other playing each other with the Pelicans versus the Lakers, and it did not go well, right?
No, it did not go well, but it was pretty predictable and one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in quite some time. You knew something was going to happen when they hit the floor last night. The two of these guys did not make it out of the first quarter without getting ejected. And the best part is we have two dudes beefing about a team that neither one of them plays for anymore. Rondo is still pissed that the Celtics were not only going to honor Thomas when he returned to Boston as a Cav, but that they were going to do it on a night when they were honoring Paul Pierce. Never mind that Rondo no longer plays for the Celtics and has played for four other teams since then.
How the hell can they remain so petty?
Rondo's a different cat now. All right, just understand that. He's a very different dude. And, hey, look, there are universal reasons to go. I think we all would admit, if somebody spits in your face, you go.
Sure.
If somebody insults your race or religion, you go. If somebody insults your girlfriend or wife, you go. And if somebody offers up a video tribute, not for a world title, but a conference championship, you freaking go, even if the video tribute never even happened. So this is the best and dumbest beef ever.
I hope it never ends.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like it will never end. That's so funny. All right, we're doing our weekly hit with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock. We saved the best for last. Oh. Who is MMA fighter Devin Powell, and why should I care, Jim?
All right, so it's like this. Virtually every athlete in the history of the world has suffered an injury. That's fine, because every athlete in the history of the world knows what they signed up for, except for this guy, Devin Powell. He did not sign up for a ruptured testicle.
Ruptured testicle.
It's incredible. The story goes that his teammate Joe Lozin crushed his grape, quote, with his sheer power. Find me a more terrifying phrase than ruptured junk. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to be here a long time because there isn't one. And even worse than ruptured drunk, K-Rock fam, is surgery for ruptured junk.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good.
And even better than that, this guy was clowning about it on Instagram, saying things like, and I quote, let's get the ball rolling for my next fight. And he shouted out to his teammate for mashing his junk.
He shouted out to him.
He did. So these guys are different dudes, but nobody's more different than Devin Powell, because nobody's ever suffered that kind of injury, and hopefully no one does ever again.
Ruptured junk. They do get kicked a lot, but they're wearing a cup for the most part. But holy crap, ruptured just seems...
I don't know, guys. I mean, ruptured's a pretty terrifying word. And when you chase it with testicle, it's even worse.
Yeah. That's
so you're just talking about chasing balls. That's weird.
No, that's not what I'm talking about at all, Allie. Thanks for playing along. Hey, Allie.
You can hear about
Allie, this. What's up?
And so much more from 9 till noon today, the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com. Don't forget new episodes of the podcast every Tuesday as well on iTunes and Google Play. That's all separate new and awesome comment apart from the radio show. Jim, thank you, sir. We'll do it again next week.
Bye, guys. Go Ducks.
I feel like that's the way you want to wake up.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right.
Good
there.
Stuff.
Foo Fighters on the world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:34.
Dr. Rupinsky joins us every week about this time here on K-Rock, and we have a topic that we want to run by you, Doc, but I want to ask you first, because on your weekly infusion podcast this week, you cover hair loss solutions, and Beer Mug is listening in the other room. What'd you find out? What conclusion did you come to on that?
You have brought that up to me before, you guys, and I did some research on it. I was surprised how many over-the-counter or sort of non-prescription remedies were working for people. And
really?
And my wife got involved with the Regenex people, and she, did their whole procedure, mm-hmm. and was pleased by it. So I thought, all right, interesting. I'll interview these guys, see what they do.
That's a great tip, then, to check out the Weekly Infusion podcast to find out more about that. And, of course, you can also get the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast and the Old School Dr. Drew podcast as well at drdrew.com. All right, here's what we have for you today. Have you been following the interview that happened a couple of days ago on Good Morning America with former Cleveland Brown quarterback Johnny Manziel?
I'm familiar with it, yes.
He says in the interview that he, a year ago, was diagnosed as being bipolar. He says he has stopped drinking, saying that he was using alcohol as a way of self-medicating as he battled depression. Now, there are a lot of words in there that have a lot of different meanings for a lot of different people. So let's start with what bipolar disorder is, Doc.
Bipolar is what they used to call manic depression, right? And it's a disorder. It's in the press a lot, if you remember. Lots of people have come forward and spoken about having bipolar 1 or bipolar 2.
And what is it?
And it's essentially a mood disorder marked by periods of severe depression, followed by periods of severe sort of inflation, where you have excessive energy, you can sort of be speaking very rapidly, your thoughts can be disconnected or flighty.
So it's extreme both ways.
Extreme both ways. So it's bipolar. Again, manic depressive is the old world. And they've old word for it. And they've identified two sort of versions of it. One is more severe than the other. Bipolar 1 includes manic episodes, where you literally disconnect from reality. It can become very, very wild. And the bipolar 2, you have what's called hypomania, sort of something that's been in the public sort of discourse that is good examples of both. Like Charlie Sheen, when he was on that video smoking through his nostrils and things.
Right.
That was severe hypomania, maybe heading towards mania. But that dude that did that video, was it about the African children warriors? Remember that guy who was in San Diego, threw his clothes off?
Yes.
That was true mania. That was actual mania. And it seems like Manziel was sort of heading towards mania. He was doing a lot of crazy stuff. They lose their insight. A lot of people on the streets are bipolar. They lose their insight. They become resistant to care. They can ultimately become somewhat paranoid and very grandiose. And they can use substances. But it looked to me, again, I don't know Johnny Manziel, but it looked to me like he had a second problem, which is alcoholism.
Well, he was claiming that he was covering up his bipolar problem with alcohol.
It's possible, but I want to be very clear to people that they don't think that they can necessarily treat their alcoholism by treating some underlying mood disorder or trauma. They're usually two distinct problems, each that need treatment, bipolarity and alcoholism. We'll see. If his alcoholism comes back, then you know he's got that second condition.
And is it true that bipolar disorder, does it manifest in your 20s and 30s?
Yeah, typically. Typically it does, though it can come on later. And it's a funny illness because later can have different implications. Like if I've seen older men develop bipolarity in their 70s, and that's usually a sign of something called a thalamic stroke. A stroke in certain parts of the brain. It can be associated with certain illnesses. It can, you know, be mimicked by things like even like hyperthyroidism.
I always thought that you were born bipolar or not.
Typically, it is a genetic potential. It's something that does tend to run in families. But whether you get, there's some people who theorize that whether or not you get full-blown manic depression, full-blown bipolarity, it has something to do with what happens in your teens and 20s. In other words, almost like it's kindled like a seizure disorder, that if it's not treated, not recognized, and spirals out of control, it makes it much more difficult and much more severe later, much more difficult to control.
So Johnny Manziel could have been, by all accounts, just a regular, normal, well-adjusted kid as a high schooler and even going through college, and then he wins the Heisman Trophy, and then something happened around that time that started creating problems for him.
Could it be he went to the Cleveland Browns? Could that be the problem?
That explains the depression, for sure.
Yeah, really, when he was willing to admit his illness, when he went down the other side.
Right?
But to your question, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Are you saying that something happened to him, like a stress or something?
Well, what I'm saying is if we looked at 14-year-old Johnny Manziel or 17-year-old Johnny Manziel, we would have had no indication, possibly, that he was bipolar. But then at some point in the years after that, it started to present itself.
Right. And there's some people that are sort of chronically hypomanic too. I mean, a lot of very powerful businessmen and politicians. I mean, think about Donald Trump. He sleeps 4 hours a night. His ideas kind of fleet around. He's very impulsive. That's kind of a hypomanic person. And a lot of people are that way that are very, very successful, and yet they never seem to have the depressive phase, and they also sort of it never blossoms beyond that.
Donald Trump never drinks either, by the way. He doesn't seem like he has this depression part that then makes him want to self-medicate.
Right.
Can you control it?
Well, yeah, it's easy. It's one of these conditions that responds beautifully to medication. It's not something that is treated with talk therapy. It's something treated with medication. A little known sort of fact about bipolar patients that they're actually more likely to kill. They're high risk for suicide, obviously, because their depressions can be quite severe. Mm-hmm. But they're actually more likely to kill themselves in a manic phase, which is a little known fact.
Is that right?
Yeah, they'll jump off a bridge or something, or do something very impulsive.
Again, that goes back to being on the Browns. Johnny Manziel says on the Good Morning America interview, at the end of the day, I can't help that my wires are a little bit differently crossed than yours. I can't help my mental makeup of the way I was created. But I know if I stay on these meds and I continue to do what I'm doing right now, I will continue to have a drastic change. So he sounds like positive and optimistic. And, of course, he also is kind of dipping his toe into, hey, I'm cool now. Can I play football?
He wants to play football again, right?
There's two aspects that are sort of caveats and warnings, which are that bipolar patients are notorious for not wanting to take their medication.
Oh.
They eventually feel like they're normal. They miss their manias. The mania is a kind of a fun state to be in. If it's inflated and feels good and you have boundless energy and you get a lot done, and they start to feel sort of, the rest of us that are what are called euthymic or normal start to feel kind of unpleasant to them.
Yeah. Interesting. I have a friend that feels like they're not as creative when they're on their medication. And you'll know immediately when they're off their medication because, wow, that is something.
It can be unpleasant to be around.
Yeah.
Very good stuff, Doctor. Thank you for sharing that with us. I mentioned drdrew.com for all the podcasts and live appearances. Don't forget, you can hear The Good Doctor on the radio, 790 KABC from noon until 3 p.m. And you can see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app, wherever you get your apps. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Level of interest in the Smashing Pumpkins reunion project?
Personally?
Yes.
2 out of...
100.
That's what I was wondering. Out of 100?
Out of 10.
Oh, 2 out of 10.
I would say 2 out of 10.
All right, so you'd listen to it if it came out, if a new Smashing Pumpkins came out. You'd listen to it, but not with much anticipation or
I'd
hope.
Be very curious what it sounded like, mm-hmm. and then okay. I would hear it, and then I would think that it sounds like all the other ones, and then I would say, okay, I'm good.
Okay, how about you, Allie?
I'd say 4.
Out of 100?
500. Yeah.
This is a very confusing schedule. One.
Out of?
Well, out of all. Only because Billy Corgan never stopped making records. It's not like all of a sudden just because you put the name Smashing Pumpkins on it, all of a sudden he's a better songwriter or singer. This album is going to sound just like the one he did last year and the year before that and the year before that, I think, unless I'm going to be pleasantly surprised. I mean, I guess we wait and see, but just calling it Smashing Pumpkins doesn't, you know, as I say, doesn't return Billy Corgan to the 90s when he could write songs.
We all just ruined the Smashing Pumpkins.
I mean, we didn't really. We were just giving our opinions.
We're just speculating. And look, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it comes out, and it's the best thing we've heard in 25 years. I do. Uh-huh. I just think that's unlikely. All right, 8:54 now. Allie, what's happening here on this Thursday morning?
Well, what is happening is Trevor Noah at the Pacific Amp Theater on July 14th.
The Pacific what?
I hate it so much, you guys. I swear to God.
I'm sorry. Where is it?
Do you remember... A couple years ago, we did the call-in topic on words that we just can't wrap our head around. We
like
just,
me with entrepreneur.
Yes.
But you mastered it.
My word was that word, Pacific, then that word.
What word?
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
See, I add an L. Always have, always will. Amphitheater.
Or you just say amphitheater, which is also not true.
Amphitheater. Amphitheater.
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
I hate it.
Just do PI, amphitheater.
Okay. At the Pacific Amphitheater.
Close enough.
On July 14th. That is Trevor Noah. You guys, seriously, that word.
Something wrong with you.
But Trevor Noah.
Right.
Do you want to go see him? Because tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m., but I want to give... That's right, kids.
I'd say 9 out of 10 on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me make it 10 out of 10.
Okay.
You're going to get free admission to the OC Fair with these tickets. Huh? Bumped you right back up.
So I can get deep fried butter?
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
We will take caller 25 at that number, and you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Pacific Amp on July 14th. Thanks for asking.
Call right now, and we'll get right back. Nope.
We won't. But if you call right now and you're caller 25, you will win that. We played the song earlier, and I can't stop thinking about it. It's magic. I love it so much. When Frank Ocean releases a new song that you didn't even know was coming, it's going to make news because there are people like me that were checking maybe hourly when his new album was supposed to come out.
Right.
And they just had that video that you could watch and any minute. And there were days that went by when I was like, it's still a freaking ladder. What is happening? So when he drops a new song like he did yesterday on Valentine's Day, and then it turns out to be a cover of a song that was in Breakfast at Tiffany's in 1961. What? Mind-blowing. Here is a little Frank Ocean doing Moon River.
Every hour of the day.
Nope. I hate you.
Every day of the week. Every girl, I need you.
This may be the Paris Hilton song from yesterday.
I hate you.
Is that the wrong?
That was Paris Hilton's song that came out yesterday.
That was Paris Hilton.
I wanted Frank Ocean. They sound similar to idiots.
You should have said that. That sounds great.
I love it so much.
A lot of times people
not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
A lot of times people who do covers do mm-hmm. it's too similar.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It's his own little Frank Ocean spin on it.
Yep. And Kevin, you have to hate the original version of that song, I would imagine. It's from the 60s, right?
I don't listen to it, but this I would listen to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was the original done by Audrey Hepburn?
Well, she sang it in the movie, and uh-huh. it was written for the movie, but then it was immediately covered by a bunch of people, including Andy Williams, who had a huge, huge hit with it the following year. But, it goes back to the film, right?
I was a big Andy Williams fan, though.
Were
Me
you?
Too.
Yeah.
Kevin, I don't know.
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
at all.
I'm like, do I believe that?
Nope, just kidding.
And Bean was like, me too. Oh,
I told you guys the story about how I embarrassed myself in front of Andy Williams that one time, didn't I?
I don't remember.
Kevin, I'm sure you've heard. I'm sure you've heard this story.
I'd like to hear it again.
All right, real quick, Allie, have you heard this story?
No.
I'm working at a record store back in my Washington D.C. days, and this couple comes in and they're looking for a copy of the Andy Williams Christmas album.
Kevin just remembered it.
Oh yeah,
Kevin remembers the story. Yeah,
fantastic.
This happened. This is for real. So they're looking for the Christmas album, mm-hmm. and I'm scanning the wall of cassettes to try to find it. I'm like, Andy Williams, is that dude still alive? Now, this was, by the way, this was like in the 80s. This was 30 years ago, okay? Is that dude still alive? And the lady says to me, this is Mr. Williams, and he's doing fine. And it turns out that he was in town because he was performing at the White House for the Reagans at a Christmas event for the Reagan administration. And he just wanted to kind of refresh himself on some of his Christmas music so that he knew what he was going to perform that night.
I think you're terrific.
I said that in front of the dude. And as I think back at the time, I don't know, he was probably like 55 or something like that. It's not like he was 100, right?
I'll bet he thought it was funny.
I don't know. I was a punk-ass kid.
Right.
And I'm
yeah,
sure he
were.
Thought I was just mocking him and had no idea who he was
yeah,
or anything
assume,
like
yeah,
that.
And that would crack me up, I think.
It was very embarrassing, though.
That
you
is
don't want to say that in front of the dude,
fantastic.
Especially the dude who's in town singing for the president.
I mean, there is that.
That's good. We need to do a phone-in on that. Like, things you said in front of someone not realizing it was them. I'm sure there's a ton.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good one.
Mark it down, Jimmy.
Who's that's Jimmy?
The guy that marks stuff down.
Okay.
We've talked about, America's love for Chloe Kim. She made Olympic history, youngest woman to win a gold medal in snowboarding. But she has become this, it's just all about her and how amazing she is as a little human.
Because she's so cool.
She's so cool. She's so down to earth, tweeting constantly about food during competition, tweeting about food. But she was on the Today Show yesterday, and they were bringing up how, you know, people are losing it, just sobbing. You saw Shaun White just absolutely break down, hugging his family. And they said, we noticed you didn't let a single tear drop during that national anthem. She said, yeah, really good reason for that composure. She worked really hard on her eyeliner and didn't want to ruin it. Like, she just had it looking awesome and wasn't going to screw up that moment.
I got to tell you, watching as much Olympics as I do, and it's mm-hmm. pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
The snowboarders are so much cooler than everybody
100%.
Else. 100%. They just are so chill compared to every other athlete.
Because they have the competitive edge. Obviously, that's what got them there. But I think more than that, they want to have fun.
Yeah.
And that shows in everything they're doing.
She's tweeting about ice cream while in between runs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Oh, yeah. Aw, why aren't we snowboarders?
Right?
This sucks. Some birthdays for you. Actress Amber Riley, Jane Seymour, Alex Borstein, Incubus singer Brandon Boyd, Simpson creator Matt Groening, and Ross and Matt Duffer, the creators of Stranger Things, and that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Fiona Griffin, by the way, from Long Beach, won her tickets to see 30 Seconds to Mars at the Forum, along with Walk the Moon opening up. Now she's qualified for the grand prize drawing. We do Monday, or someone does, for the trip to New York City to see the bands again at Madison Square Garden. That includes round trip, airfare, and hotel. It's destination number one of the, I guess we're calling it, is that right? Destination number one, is that what we're calling it?
Yep.
We have K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, your chance to win coming up at noon with Kat Corbett. All right, Allie, you're up. What's happening?
This was just handed to me. Golden Voice has put out the, you know when Coachella comes, a bunch of bands start playing around town around that time.
Because they do it 2 weekends in a row and they've got nothing but time in between.
Right. So yeah. Golden Voice presents April 2018. Just came out. So if you'd like to see, I don't know, Chromeo at the El Rey Theater, no problem. April 11th. Haim, going to be playing Fox Theater in Pomona. St. Vincent at the Orpheum on April 11th. Portugal the Man, April 12th.
All right.
Fox Theater, Pomona. Great, great bands. We've got Greta Van Fleet, Fleet Foxes, Alt-J with Borns. I mean, I'm just reading through this, and I want to see all of these. A Perfect Circle,
pretty
Arlington
impressive.
Theater on April 17th. Who else we got? The War on Drugs, April 19th. Oh, you guys.
Sounds fantastic.
This is good.
It's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
GoldenVoice.com if you want to see the lineup.
Really good stuff. You guys, the time has come.
The time has come for...
The first trailer has dropped.
For...
Cobra Kai. Do you know what Cobra Kai is?
It sounds Karate Kid-ish.
Yeah.
It certainly is. This is the premise for Cobra Kai. It is set in present day. And Johnny, you know him, Billy Zabka.
Sure.
Reopens the old Cobra Kai dojo, reuniting his rivalry with Daniel LaRusso, Ralph Macchio.
Oh! But they're not still doing karate stuff 30 years later, are they?
They most definitely are.
Haven't they just moved on to dad stuff?
Well, they have teenage kids of their own.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So we're going to find out if, you know, that feud, is it back? Is it reunited? Oh, what is happening?
They'll beef.
There's going to be some leg sweeping, right?
Absolutely.
Some wax onning and wax offing?
Sure.
Here's the trailer.
Fighting positions. Fire!
I just don't know why you'd ever want to bring back Cobra Kai.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak.
You may know the moves, but none of that matters unless you have balance.
Are you ready to learn the way of the fist?
Yes, Sensei!
Johnny, you and I, this, we aren't done.
You guys, I mean, Ralph Macchio looks exactly the same.
Does he really? He does.
No one's aged better. He has not aged since 1984. It's phenomenal.
I don't want anybody to say, are you ready to learn the ways of the fist, though?
Your eyes did light up. It was strange.
I assume Johnny's still a dick, right?
Well, I don't think leopards change their spots, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
That trailer is at the at Kevin and Bean Facebook and Twitter.
Excellent. All right. Posted right now. And... it's going to premiere later this year on YouTube Red, so we will keep you posted.
Will we be checking in with Mr. Miyagi in heaven, does it say?
Oh,
will there be like a...
I hope so.
You know, hologram or something?
Don't have that information yet, Bean.
No.
Okay.
Just a teaser came out. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, I have questions.
Just a teaser.
Why'd you have to bring up Pat?
I'm just saying.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the saddest moment of the fight, when the Karate Kid thinks he can't go on anymore, mm-hmm. if he, you know, just kind of looks up and there he sees Mr. Miyagi looking down on him with some sort of wax on, wax off type wisdom.
Why do some people tune out?
That's a good question.
So Amy Schumer's movie, I Feel Pretty, has been moved up to April 27th instead of the June 29th release after STX Film said a recent test screening showed people loved it. Have you guys heard about this movie?
I've seen the trailer. It looks very funny.
Yeah, she's a lady. She suffers from low self-esteem. Then she falls, I believe hits her head, and wakes up believing she's suddenly the most beautiful and capable woman in the world.
I like it. I like her.
Well, she's off the market, Kevin, so calm down.
All right.
Yeah, I said off the market. Got married on Tuesday, you
what?
Guys. This is crazy to me, because last I had heard, she had split up with her boyfriend of 2 years, that guy Ben.
Right.
Maybe you weren't following it as close as I was.
I wasn't.
But apparently she's been dating this chef, a 37-year-old chef named Chris Fisher, for a few months, and they got married on the beach in Malibu on Tuesday. Wedding guests included Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lawrence, Jake Gyllenhaal, Larry David, wow. Judd Apatow, David Spade. And they only went public with their relationship 2 days before the wedding.
That's
posting
refreshing.
Posting something to Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Amy Schumer.
Huh.
She's married.
Huh.
What's that like? Is that fun for women? Yesterday, I told you about LeBron James, he's going to be producing a brand new house party. Well, today we find out he's also behind a brand new basketball film called Hustle. The film is going to be directed by Kendrick Lamar's video guy, Dave Myers, and it's a comedy about a washed-up basketball scout who discovers a Chinese streetball phenom, follows him to L.A. to train for the draft, and he feels he's his ticket back to the NBA. So,
that's a terrible idea.
I don't know. It's a lot of stuff happening. With
bad idea.
LeBron. Yeah. No? Not in?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right.
I'm not feeling that one.
We talked about it before, but I think we need to talk to the creator of The Walking Dead. I can't remember his name.
How dare you?
But I believe...
Robert Kirkman.
Is it Robert Kirkman? Is that definitely it?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
I wish we had time for anything else, but unfortunately we don't.
Well, we will talk to him.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment.
It's amazing.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Right?
It's true. Amazing that he comes back every year, Robert Kingsman.
Yeah,
right?
It really is.
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, the upcoming season of The Walking Dead, that would be season 8, is going to return to AMC on Sunday, February 25th. And you're going to see a lot more zombie, a lot more White Walker. White Walker?
Mm.
Nope.
Nope.
Just walkers. A lot more than you have ever seen before, because one of them will be completely nude.
Naked.
Yeah, naked. According to executive producer Greg Nicotero, he told Entertainment Weekly, there's an episode where we did our first fully nude walker. We've never done that before. And no word on whether it's male or female, but, I mean, we will be tuning in for that.
Yes. Already naked.
Already?
Yes, if you're already naked, this is for you.
I don't think you have to be naked to watch it, but...
Mr. Kingsman will be joining us in studio on Monday, March 5th.
Fantastic.
And by Kingsman, you mean Kirkman.
I heard a guy say.
Well, that guy should not be trusted.
No. And congratulations, Tommy Lee. He is set to take a third trip down the aisle. He proposed to his girlfriend, Brittany Furlan. She was kind of a big Vine star, then moved over to Instagram.
Okay.
Really pretty girl. Really funny.
Mm-hmm. Big ones, right?
Right. And they apparently are getting married, and he can't wait. Happily ever after. This will be his third trip. Like I said, he was married to Heather Locklear and Pamela Anderson.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
I mean, I believe that.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Right?
Right.
Some nuggets.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
Right. I don't know if that's the correct way that goes.
It's pretty Tommy Lee-ish.
Yeah, it is.
However.
Yeah, it is. Some birthdays for you guys. We've got actresses Amber Riley, Jane Seymour, Alex Borstein, Incubus singer Brandon Boyd, Stranger Things creator Ross and Matt Duffer, and Simpsons creator Matt Groening. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Riley, the SoCal Helpful. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we've got a brand new internet roundup for you. We've got a review of Black Panther, which is finally in theaters tomorrow. Comedian Pete Holmes will join us, and we will keep it 100 tomorrow.